and ask all of our young people that are about fourth grade on down. Usually fourth grade on down goes to the junior church. And the rest of us can take our Bibles and go to Exodus chapter number 12. Exodus chapter number 12. I need to read a lot of verses here in the whole chapter. And so I'm just going to begin Exodus chapter number 12 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth month, day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor, next unto his house, take it according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And this shall ye eat it without, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. In the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leaven, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leaven. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. So then Moses repeats all this to the people. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through the and to smite the Egyptians in whom he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when he come to the land which the Lord give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was none, not a house, where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the God, the Lord, as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds, as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, We be all dead men. And all the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they lent them such things as they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about the 600,000 on foot that were men beside children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds and even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for them any victual. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is the night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou shalt hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and an hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let them come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. Thus did the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. Let's pray and then we'll go on. Lord, we thank you for the Bible and we thank you for this passage that leads to so many other things. Help us to see the picture that you are demonstrating for us, and help us to hear from your Holy Spirit through your word today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 in the New Testament, for Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. John chapter 1, verse 29, when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. There's quite a picture here in this chapter, and I want to go through it one at a time and show you some of the things that are here. First of all, I'm sure most of you have heard the story before, but these people were slaves in Egypt. They were used to be popular people in Egypt back in the days of Joseph, but 400 and some years had gone by, and they were now the slaves of Egypt. And Moses, God raised Moses up to be the deliverer for them, and God told Moses that I'm going to do something tonight. It's called a Passover. I'm going to pass over those who have the blood over their door. But if they do not put the blood over their door, they are condemned. And so every house was under condemnation. Question, if you were an Israelite and you didn't put the blood over the door, would you be okay? No. Every house was under condemnation. If any Egyptians had put the blood over their door, would they have been okay? Yes. As a matter of fact, it says over there in verse 38, a mixed multitude went up with them. So I'm thinking that could be that there were some believing Egyptians as well. But every house was under condemnation. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 18, he that believeth on Christ is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. In other words, you're immediately condemned as soon as you were born and you began to live. You started to develop something called the sin nature that you inherited from your parents and grandparents. That sin nature makes you a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says there is no difference between Jew or Gentile, between bond or free, male or female. There's no difference. We are all born with the same sin nature. And so just as these people were under condemnation if they didn't do what God told them to do, so you and I today are as well. There is no difference. It doesn't matter what race or ethnicity or even religion you stamp yourself to be. All of us are sinners and all of us need a Savior because of that sin. And so every house was under condemnation. Let's just point that out right away. Secondly, there was a substitute. In verse 1 through 4 of Exodus chapter 12, the Bible tells us that there was a lamb for a house. In verse 3, a lamb for a house. They were to take that lamb, that innocent lamb, that pure lamb without a blemish, without any spot, and they were to take that lamb and they were to offer that lamb and to slit its throat and let that lamb bleed out and catch the blood and to use that blood to paint over the doorposts and the lintel of their home. The substitute was the lamb. And all through Scripture, from the days of Cain and Abel all the way to the book of Revelation, you'll find the lamb is the substitute. In the Old Testament, the lambs were animals. They were literal animals as we think of lambs. But they were pointing to the Lamb of God. As a matter of fact, you get to the end of the Bible, and it says in Revelation 13 that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. And so it was always in God's mind that the animal sacrifice was really just a picture, an object lesson of the true Lamb of God. And that's why John the Baptist, who, by the way, was a son of Levite parents who had the right to be a priest himself and to declare lambs kosher or not. John the Baptist, the day that he saw Jesus at the Jordan River, said, "Behold, the Lamb, capital L, Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." In Acts chapter number 8, there's the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. He's reading out of Acts chapter number 8, but he's actually living Acts chapter 8. He's reading out of Isaiah 53. And as he's reading Isaiah 53, it says, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was a lamb led to the slaughter, and before his shears he was dumb. He opened not his mouth. He was sacrificed for you and I." And the Ethiopian said, "Who is this man that the Bible calls a lamb?" And Philip preached to him the Lord Jesus Christ. The substitute here in the book of Exodus was an animal, but the true substitute is Jesus Christ himself. The substitute. So we have the condemnation on every house. We have the substitute that's been supplied by the Lord himself. Then we have the application. Verse 7 through 12. "And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat. And they shall eat flesh in the night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with his pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire." Verse number 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." Verse 13, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And so the application of all this is most important. Verse 21 through 23, it also says this, "Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, a branch, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through them, smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you." The application is very simple. The blood must be applied. It doesn't matter if you acknowledge that the lamb needs to be killed, and doesn't matter if even the lamb's blood is drained into a basin, the blood needs to be applied. By the way, I don't know why this is the case, but there's a very well-known preacher out in California who says that the blood really wasn't that important. Boy, he hasn't been reading his Bible. The blood is very important. It doesn't say, "When I see the death, I'll pass over you." It says, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." And that blood is there as a token and a symbol. The life is in the blood, the Bible says. And the Bible illustrates and points to us from the very beginning until now. I mean, way back, the original sinners in the Garden of Eden, they made themselves aprons out of fig leaves, and God wasn't impressed with that. God made them coats out of what? Skins. You know what that means? Something bled. Blood's been around since sin had to be covered. Blood is very, and you get to Revelation, it says they washed their sins in his blood. Blood's very important. Now, we don't have literal blood here today, because 2,000 years ago, he shed his blood, the final bloodshed to be made. From the time of Christ dying on the cross, there's been no more need of animal sacrifice. As a matter of fact, I'll go so far as to say, if you're involved with any kind of animal sacrifice today, you're in some kind of satanic cult. because Christ is our Passover. But back then, they were pointing ahead to the cross. And so God allowed the animal sacrifices and the bloodshed to be used as the symbol and as an object lesson. And they couldn't just have the blood in a basin. They had to take that blood and publicly on the outside door of their home, where everybody else could see what they believed in, what they trusted in. And that was the blood of the Lamb. So the blood had to be applied to the doorposts. I don't know. I wasn't there. But here's what I want to imagine. That branch, that hyssop branch in that basin, if they painted like I do, it might have been kind of sloppy, especially if they were in a hurry. They were to put it on the lintel. It says they put it up on the lintel, on the top post above the door. And they were to smear it on there. Then they were to go over to the side post here and the side post here. I can only imagine that blood would have trickled down this way. And as they went from one side to the other, there'd have been some drips of blood across there, making a bloody cross across that door. Of course, they wouldn't even know what a cross was back then. But I can just see that. I can just see God seeing that. But here's the application as well. Not only did they have to apply the blood over their home, but personal acceptance of Christ's blood has to be on your heart. You might know this story, but if it's not here, it doesn't really do you any good. You might know all the details of the story, and maybe you even saw a movie, which makes you an expert. But until it's here, it doesn't matter. Until it's personal, until it's on your heart's door, it isn't yours. It says in verse 23, the destroyer will come. Only the blood could stand between them and the destroyer. Hey, I got news for you. The destroyer's coming. And all of us are going to face death someday. And all of us are going to stand before God someday, whether we believed in him or not. And the only thing that will stand, the only thing that will speak, the only thing that will do as a substitute, the only thing that will cause him to pass over you is the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Dakota played it a little while ago, the old rugged cross stained with blood. So divine. And that leads me to the next point. God is looking for faith in the perfect blood. Verse 13, it says, the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Do you know that he wasn't looking for Israelites or Egyptians? He's saying, wait a minute. He was there to rescue the people of... Listen. If they didn't put the blood on the door, would they have been rescued? He didn't look down at the addresses in the mailboxes and say, well, is that Egyptian or is that Hebrew? What was he looking for? The blood on the door. I remind you, as I said earlier, over there in verse 38, a mixed multitude. I believe some Egyptians went out with them. He did not look for Israelites or Egyptians. There is no difference, the Bible says. There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He was looking for one thing only, the perfect blood, the blood of the Lamb. I like what one preacher, it was a black preacher named Sam Emery. He said there is no such thing as the white church and the black church. He said the only color of the church is red, and that stands for the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood of Christ that God is looking to see if you are trusting in it and it alone. You know, after Christ came and died on the cross, those people, 2,000 years ago, those Jewish people, they had a decision to make. Do I still hang on to my Old Testament ways of animal sacrifice? Or do I recognize the blood of the Lamb that was declared to be the Lamb who died on the cross? It wasn't by accident that as he died on the cross, he said, it is finished. And when he said it is finished, the veil in the temple ripped in two. Illustrating to all those, oh, by the way, I guess I should tell you, if you don't know already, when he died on the cross and the veil ripped in two, it was the Passover. It was at the very time that they were preparing the animals and they were going to slaughter those animals and prepare the Passover atonement and all that sort of thing. And it was right at that time that the veil ripped in two. And it's as if God was saying, boys, your job's done. The Lamb just died on the cross. The blood of the Lamb has to be applied. It has to be personal. It has to be the perfect blood of Christ and no other. He looks no longer for the blood of bulls and goats. He looks no longer for the blood of animal sacrifice, but his own precious blood. I love what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. And I'm going to read it to you quickly. Here's 1 Peter 1, 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So it was for those people 2,000 or 4,000 years ago who had to trust in a physical animal blood sacrifice. So it was for them so many years ago. So it is now for you and I who trust in Christ. You see, they were looking ahead to the cross and Christ coming. You and I today on the New Testament side of things, we look back to the cross of Christ. We recognize it's the blood of Christ, the blood of the Lamb that pays for our sin. Notice back there in Exodus chapter number 12 and verse number 14. This day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generation. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye keep it, shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And also up there, and I think it's it doesn't matter. It repeats it again, but I'll skip that right now. I want to point out this. The blood covered the outside, and while the blood was covered on the outside, purification was being expected on the inside. You know, after I'm saved, the Bible indicates, and I've been taught from the New Testament, that I'm not doing anything for my salvation. I can't do any good work to keep me saved. But after my salvation, God would expect me to clean some things up. You know, leaven represents sin. Leaven is yeast. And when someone makes a loaf of bread, they put in yeast, and the yeast causes the bread to rise. And most of your bread that you buy has yeast in it. How much yeast does it take? Just a little. Why? Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Just a little bit goes a long way. You know, how much sin does it take to make you a sinner? Doesn't matter how little your sin seems to be, it spreads. And so no matter how little the leaven in the lump, it causes it to be leavened bread. Well, in the Passover feast, it was to be unleavened bread, a picturing of no sin. You know, after our salvation, God would have us to be unleavened and to take care of sin that's in our life and to get it out and to purge it out, so to speak. So after salvation, then there's also purification going on the inside. I want to notice also here in verse 31 of Exodus 12. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, arise. This is Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, arise. Rise up, get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. I want to point out something else. They became separated from the Egyptians. Up until then, they were slaves to the Egyptians. Look in verses 43 through 49. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreign and hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh out abroad out of that house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover of the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. The one law, verse 49, for the homeborn and the stranger. God is clearly saying here that this Passover is only for people who are my people. People who believe in me. And if you've got strangers that want to adopt and to believe in me, then that's fine. But it's only for my people. Egyptians, Pharaoh said, get out of here. Let me tell you something. Separation from the world happens as a result of your salvation. When you start declaring publicly, and the blood is on your heart's door, and you say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am a Christian, and I, not only am I going to have the blood on the doorposts of my home, but inside we're getting rid of the leaven. Let me tell you something. It's not very long before all of a sudden everybody else who isn't says, get out. We don't want you around. You know, that might seem like a bad thing, but that's just the way it is. God's people are separate from the world. Doesn't mean that we go live in a cave like a monk or something like that. But, you know, I don't know about you, but when I go to certain places, maybe the shop or something like that, it's once in a while I'll meet somebody and I'll just know there's something different about that person. That person looks familiar. There's something about them. And sure enough, they're a believer. They're a Christian. There's just something about how they carry themselves, about how they conduct themselves. There's just a difference there. You know what? When we're saved, there's an expected separation that takes place. Sometimes the world even wants it to happen. And I point out all these things for a reason. Because now if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The Bible says in verse 7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are leavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The Lord Jesus Christ became the Passover. We no longer celebrate Old Testament Passover. We celebrate Jesus Christ. When Jesus was in the upper room the night before he was crucified, he was celebrating the Passover with his disciples. He turned that Passover meal into something else. We call it the Lord's Supper or the Lord's Communion. If you remember back in Exodus chapter number 12, it said in a couple places, it is the Lord's Passover. So look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Starting, first of all, in verse 16, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Communion, the idea of calling it communion comes from the Bible. Communing, like communicating. It's communion with Christ and fellowship with him. This do in remembrance of me, as he said. Look at verse 21 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse 21, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. You can't come here without being right with God. You know better than that. Our Old Testament Passover laws taught us that. But we see here in verse 21, it's called the Lord's table. Then in chapter number 11 in verse 20, when you come together, wherefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. In other words, they were wrong. They weren't doing it right. But it's now called the Lord's Supper. That's where we get the phrase or the saying, Lord's table, Lord's Supper, or communion. But again, it was taken right out of the Passover, and it was something new. And the Bible tells us in Corinthians that Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. I realize that the Jewish religion is still celebrating Passover today. However, whether you knew this or not, they no longer even use a lamb, let alone recognizing the true lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, folks, as Christians, we don't celebrate Old Testament Passover with some kind of Old Testament ritual. We certainly don't put blood over the door, and we certainly don't do some of those things they did back then. But however, what we do celebrate is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason why they miss it is because they reject the New Testament and they reject Jesus Christ. The Bible says, if you claim to know the Father, but you don't know the Son, you don't know the Father. You see, no man can come to the Father but by who? Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Today, we are participating in communion or the Lord's table and the Lord's Supper. But I have to tell you that it isn't for everybody. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, that's number one. That's what needs to happen first. And once that takes place and you know Christ is your Savior and you've been baptized as he indicates after salvation, then you can be a part of the body of Christ and you can participate in the Lord's table or the Lord's Supper. And so as you saw back there in Exodus chapter 12, if they had strangers that were with them They would let them know, hey, listen, this is just for us as we believe in God. This is just for us as we honor Him and respect Him. This isn't for you. If you're here today and you're not sure that if you died right now, you'd be in heaven, then let me tell you something. You're not saved. If you don't know that you're on your way to heaven and you're not sure you're saved, then I would say that you probably aren't saved if you don't know it. If you don't know that Jesus Christ died to pay for your sin, and until the blood is over your heart's door, you have no ability for Him to pass over you. Instead, the destroyer would visit you and you'd be in trouble. But if you're saved today, and after your salvation, you've been baptized, then you can be a part of His church. As a matter of fact, the book of Corinthians, if you start out on page 1, it was written to the church at Corinth. So many people today are very loose about this thing called communion. They think that just anybody can participate. And unfortunately, some have been taught that participating is what makes me a Christian. I remember talking with a Catholic lady years ago. Her name was Mrs. Gallagher. And I meant it the way the Bible says it. I said, Mrs. Gallagher, have you ever received Jesus Christ as your Savior? And Mrs. Gallagher said, absolutely. I receive Him every time I have Mass. No, that's not what I meant. But see, they believe that the bread actually turns into the body and the juice actually turns into the blood of Jesus. And they receive Him. No, we're not talking cannibalism. Mrs. Gallagher, have you ever received Christ as your Savior? Have you ever applied His atonement for your sin? You see, there's a lot of misconceptions about this. And there's a lot of people that probably need to take care of some other things first. You notice that the strangers were expected to be circumcised. They were expected to acknowledge that their God was their God. And so it's possible, folks, that you might want to observe today and not participate. Let me encourage you on that. As a matter of fact, the only reason why we do this on a Sunday morning like today is so that all of our members can be present and have a part in this. Typically, we do it on Sunday night. The reason why is typically we don't have as many visitors on a Sunday night as we do on a Sunday morning. That doesn't mean that we don't like you or that you can't be a part of our church or can't be a part of God's family as a saved person. But if you're not ready today, let me encourage you not to, and here's why. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. Now, remind you here, they're using unleavened bread because it was the Passover. So today we have unleavened bread, which is a picture of no sin, pure, clean. After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. I have a question for you. If the bread wasn't supposed to have any yeast in it, then do you think the juice was alcoholic? Would that make any sense? It was the fruit of the vine. It was the squeezed fresh juice of the grape. This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. I love verse 26. This do in remembrance of Me. As often as ye do this, ye do show the Lord's death. That's a memorial. We have loved ones who have died. We know people who have passed away, and there's memorials set up for them, maybe a tombstone or something. But no one else has ever been spoken of like this. You're going to have a memorial for Me till I come again. You know what that shows me? He did die, but He's not dead. It's amazing. I can think of some past presidents and American leaders. I wish they would come back. Well, we could use them right now. But they're not. But there is one who died, and yet He still lives. And 3 days after He died on the cross, He rose from the grave. This is why we can pray to Him. Because he's not dead. He was dead, but not now. This is why I no longer have to do as they did in the Old Testament, go to a human priest. I don't have to. Because I have a heavenly priest, as it says in Hebrews chapter 4. And my high priest is alive today, and one day he's coming back. You do show the Lord's death till he come. Verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, and that's what I'm talking about. You ought not. Shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. There's a warning here with this. The warning is that we need to examine ourselves. In fact, that's the reason why, as a church body, we do this, is because it's in remembrance of him, but it's also in an examination of ourselves. It's an inward look. Every one of us in this room needs to take an inward look and say, am I right with God today? First of all, am I saved? Secondly, have I followed after salvation the example of being baptized in deep water as a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection? A little girl came to me this morning before Sunday school. Kendra. She said, Pastor Matt, guess what? Today I prayed to be saved. Kendra has, if she truly understands and she's saved, the next step for her then, of course, is baptism. When my children were that little and they were learning, of course, they would sit in a service like this and they would see the communion plate go by and they... And mom would say. And then, you know what would happen? They all wanted to be saved immediately. So that they could do it next time. We're smarter than that. So we wanted to make sure they're truly saved and not just saying it. I remember the night before communion, years ago, on Saturday night before communion, Sam Furs, must have been about this high, Sam first came to me and he said, Dad, I want to get baptized. And I knew why. Because he wanted to be big like everyone else. Hey, Mom and Dad, this is where it's so important that we don't just go, oh, it's so wonderful. Because guess what? I believe with all my heart there's a lot of people that have taken communion and died and went to hell. Because they didn't know Jesus as their Savior. You know that thief on the cross next to Jesus? When Jesus was dying, there was one of the thieves that said, Lord, remember me. And he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. You know, that thief got to go to heaven with Jesus, but he never did get baptized and he never did take communion. He never even joined a church. See, we get things out of order. What's most important is the salvation. So Sam first comes to me and he says, Dad, I want to be baptized. I said, why do you want to be baptized? Because I'm saved. I said, really? I said, well, can you explain to me what salvation is? And I said, what are you saved from? Sin? Well, what is sin? Smoking? I said, Sam, have you ever smoked? No. Oh, well, can you think of a different sin? Drinking? I said, Sam, have you ever drank? No. Can you think of another sin? I said, what about when you stole your brother's candy bar last week? I wasn't convinced that Sam really thought of sin like sin. He could think of everybody else's sin. He couldn't think of his own. But it wasn't long, much later, that I believe Sam truly understood salvation from his sin. Of course, the punishment in hell. And so as parents, we recognize that it's important that we teach. But as a pastor, I recognize it's important that I teach. That you understand what this is about. This is a church thing. And we're doing this morning so that just about everybody in our church that's a member is here to be with us together. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. It says right there that our many people were sick and even dying as a result of disrespecting what this really is all about. So this is a very special time. It's an important time. And there's certainly nothing wrong with being completely honest before God and saying, you know what? I'm not saved. I need to be saved. So I'm not going to participate. Or I'm saved, but I just resisted getting baptized. And so I'm not going to participate. Or I'm saved and I have been baptized, but I'm just kind of running. I'm just not belonging anywhere. And I know I'm not right with God today. Whatever it is, if that's the case, do what you need to do for yourself and for the sake of God's glory. And if you are right with the Lord, or you have the ability to just talk to Him today, maybe confess something. Maybe you got something that's wrong with somebody else in the room and you need to go to them and say, I need to talk to you about this before I participate today. Let me tell you something, you need to. You need to take the time to take care of whatever God's put His finger on in your life. Because this is serious. We're remembering the body that was broken for us. We're remembering the blood that was shed for us. And the actual elements themselves do nothing for us. It's just all a symbolic. But we're remembering this, and we're showing the rest of our young people and visitors or whoever what we believe. With that in mind, I'm going to ask you if the deacons will come and join me up here, and we're going to participate in our communion service this morning. Just ask that the parents will help the young people this morning as they come back in. I'm going to read from this passage in 1 Corinthians 11. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. At this time, we're going to hand out the trays of bread, and you'll either participate or pass it on, but I'll ask the men to do that for us today.